Hello, this is Lisa, welcoming you to this week's Talking News and wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas. This week's Talking News consists of our December newsletter read out by each of the people who wrote an article. We very much hope you enjoyed the newsletter, and if you would like to subscribe to the newsletter, it is of course free of charge, and all you need to do is give us a call on 52205. Very Merry Christmas and looking forward to the new year. Thank you, Lisa, CEO of Sight for White.
Newsletter, December 2021. Spotlight on PJ. Meet trustee Sue. Looking back to 2021. Be My Eyes app. Charity number 1149415. Company number 62404. Front cover shows Sight for White staff donning festive Father Christmas hats.
Welcome to our newsletter. Well, another extraordinary year, but thankfully we have been steadily opening up Millbrook House to all its usual activities. The staff have been working hard to make sure it is all running smoothly. It is so pleasing to be able to walk in and find groups being able to socialise again. Of course, I do acknowledge that some groups are yet to reopen, including the Members Forum and the Local Fundraising Committee. These are planned for an early start in 2022. In this newsletter, we will be looking at all that has been achieved during the past 12 months. This includes the use of the QR code, the Alexa skill, and how we've been able to keep in contact with the befriending scheme for all our members. I also know that we have some really fantastic knitters who have been very busy. I really like the Christmassy covers for the chocolate oranges, the dog balls and some bath bombs. These will make ideal gifts. And don't forget to choose some of our extended range of Christmas cards as well. As usual, we have the updates from all our staff, and I'm really looking forward to the next instalment of Debbie's article, Addressing to Suit Your Body Shape. To everyone who contributes to the newsletter, thank you. It's always so interesting and informative. To our wonderful staff who have coped with so many changes, the dedicated volunteers who generously commit so much of their time, and to all the trustees, thank you for all you have achieved over the past year. May I wish you all a happy and healthy Christmas and every good wish for 2022.
CEO update read by Lisa. I cannot quite believe it was March 20 that I took over the reins as CEO here at Sight for White, but I'm very pleased to be at the helm as our new 2020 strategy has really taken shape. 2021 has been a very difficult year, starting in full lockdown, but ending with Millbrook House alive and buzzing with activity. We have made huge progress in embedding our 2020 strategy in what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. In 2021, we have begun the following projects. Reopened Millbrook House and restarted activities. Lottery community funded A Friend in Need. Sight for White Alexa skill. Hello everyone, QR codes. Member transport survey resulting in a car purchase. Newsletter now in 5 bi-monthly formats. Celebrating 50 years of the audio library. Celebrating 45 years of the Talking News. The education programme, teaching avoidable sight loss to primary children. Family and young people establishing contact with the sensory service. Employment for VI people offering one-to-one support. Videos, living with sight loss and its major causes. Working partnerships, established 25. Working to help produce an accessible census. Lobbying, working with the police, Hover Travel, Southern Vectis, Isle of Wight Council and Beryl Scooters. Member volunteering, helping others empowers you. Members Low Vision Day, 115 people attended. Working age group, established, offered to all members. Pals Genie Project, matching members to local activities. Thank you to each and every member, volunteer, supporter and member of staff. You have helped me achieve all of this. Lisa.
Looking back. Well, where do I begin? The first 6 months of the year was a very unsettled time for not only Sight for White, but the whole country. We had so many plans of reopening our doors to members and activities planned, but the date just kept getting pushed back until finally we thought it was safe to reopen in July. During lockdown, Paul, our trustee and volunteer, held Zoom quizzes, which was very well supported and enjoyed by many staff and volunteers from the comfort of their own home. Befriending continued throughout, with our volunteers continuing to make phone calls to our members, which, through their feedback, was a lifeline to them and helped stop loneliness and isolation. Our Talking News team continued providing the weekly news to our members throughout, and we thank them for all their time, and also to Vectis Radio, who continue to air the show twice a week. Our local fundraising did not stop just because of the pandemic. Sheila raised over £1,400 by touching her toes 100 times through May. The best part, she found a new vitality from it and has carried on doing it since then. Debbie began online sales for Dress for Less through eBay and Facebook, and we were literally inundated with offers of clothes for the shop as people used lockdown to have a big clear out. Although we tried our best to sell everything, there was so much so we decided to donate excess clothing to another charity to ensure every piece of clothing was used and went to a worthy cause. Photograph shows member touching her toes.
Looking back, finally, July came and the Royal Victoria Yacht Club once again invited members along to their open day in Fishbourne. Although a little damp in the morning, the sun shone and members and volunteers had the opportunity to enjoy the various trips out on the Solent in a variety of vessels. And next to it, we have a photograph of two of our volunteers enjoying a boat trip. Our monthly golf sessions restarted at Westridge Golf Centre Ryde and is thoroughly enjoyed by all members. Members who attend receive help and training from their own professional coach. And once again, there's a photograph of our members with their golf clubs enjoying and getting ready for their golf session. And finally, we welcomed our wonderful volunteers back to a garden party. The sun shone and over 50 volunteers joined us. Millbrook House came alive with conversation and laughter, and we all felt a little normality back into our lives. And there's two photographs of members and our CEO enjoying the sunshine at Millbrook House.
Looking back, just 2 days later, we began our members' activities again. We started with Mix and Mingle Group, although our first meeting was saddened by our invitation to Mel Barnes' family to unveil a beautiful bench in his memory. But the sun shone and the tea flowed and everybody enjoyed homemade cakes, courtesy of our volunteer Yvonne. It was wonderful to have the group back, along with new members excited about joining this social group. August saw the charity start a new social monthly group, Lunch Club. The first one had members, staff and volunteers meet at Millbrook House for fish and chips, and wow, they were delicious and very plentiful. The charity was invited to take part in a special sailing event during Cows Week on wet wheels. The group enjoyed a trip towards the west of the island and members were allowed to drive the boat with the shrills and laughter. Photo, two members and a volunteer pictured on wet wheels in Cows.
Looking back, our coffee and chat restarted and has seen a steady flow of members joining and enjoying each other's company, and also having Laura, our Eclo from St Mary's, visiting to offer help and advice. Picture of coffee morning. During August, Mix and Mingle really enjoyed themselves with having a fun day at the beach and fun at the circus. Ice creams were enjoyed, and during the circus, members donned clown hats and red noses with much laughter. Picture of the members enjoying circus day. Our new Strider leader restarted the monthly Striders with a lovely walk around Carisbrook. Everyone enjoyed the fresh air and a very sociable pub lunch at the Eight Bells. Picture of our members striding. Our monthly book group met for the first time at Millbrook House after meeting virtually throughout the lockdown. This group remains small and would welcome more members to join them monthly to discuss their latest book.
Looking back, September marked the new start of a new swimming group at Medina Leisure, held weekly and during the daytime. The group grows in numbers, but we are always looking for new members to join and enjoy the whole use of the pool with other VI members. A new yarn at Millbrook House group started for anyone interested in anything to do with yarn. Numbers have been disappointing, but the regular visitors have all enjoyed the chat and sharing tips about the latest projects. On the article, there is a picture of the members enjoying yarn at Millbrook. Independent Arts opened their exhibition, Looking Out of Lockdown, and we were privileged to have our artwork on display in their new hub, situated in Newport High Street. On the article, there is a picture of our members and volunteers manager at the Independent Arts exhibition.
Looking back, we held our first open day at Millbrook House, where staff and volunteers welcomed over 115 guests during the day. Our volunteer Morris entertained in the garden, and everyone enjoyed a barbecue and great company. We invited several charities and companies to talk about their products and services, which was very well received. Striders met and had a brisk stride to the Tennyson Monument, which was enjoyed by all. New members began to join the group, and everyone stayed for a delicious lunch together afterwards. The guide dogs also loved these get-togethers, giving them a real chance to run free and play with our dogs, whilst their owners enjoy a stride with one-on-one sighted guide support. Photos include the open day at Millbrook House and striders standing by the Tennyson Monument.
Looking back, again Mix and Mingle enjoyed another fun-packed month, including a themed day at Chelsea Flower Show, trying their hands at flower decorating, and a special trip to the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary in Sandown. The group grew and grew in size, with people joining and coming back each and every week. We have been enjoying record numbers on a Thursday, which is fantastic. And there are pictures of our members enjoying the Chelsea Flower Show, doing their flower decorating, and also members holding reptiles at the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary. Our newly formed lunch club enjoyed a lovely social meal at the Hotel Ride Castle, and there's pictures of our members eating their meals in the castle. Our volunteer, John, offered to attend our place at Freshwater and represent the charity, sharing information and news. Since September, John now also attends the Totland to spread the news about the charity, which we are so grateful for. He also took it upon himself to complete a sponsored swim for us at West White Pool, raising more than double his target. And John is pictured in a photograph at the end of his swim with his thumb up.
Our fundraising teams attended Wolverton Manor donning their new t-shirts, and we raised a fantastic amount, over £500, which is brilliant. And we thank all of our wonderful volunteers for the time, help and support. There is a picture of our volunteers at Wolverton Manor. October came and we carried on seeing our activities so well attended and enjoyed by all members. Numbers attending increased, and we restarted visiting the West White monthly swim with members enjoying the warm pool. Striders enjoyed a stride around Ningwood and celebrated a very special birthday with one of our members at the Horse and Groom Pub. Picture of the striders at the Horse and Groom Pub before the stride. The coffee and chat on a Wednesday have seen lots of new members joining, and the house is filled with laughter and conversation.
Looking back, November saw the Mix and Mingle celebrate Armistice Day following the 2 minute silence with a performance from Morris, which was absolutely brilliant, and the members thoroughly enjoyed singing along with his choice of songs from the West End to wartime tunes. On the article, there is a picture of our members enjoying Armistice Day. Newport Parish Council held their Switching on the Christmas Lights Day and invited Sight for White to try ice skating. 29 members, volunteers, staff, family and friends all enjoyed skating around the rink, and it was such a lovely experience to see members with laughter and happiness. On the article, there are two pictures of members enjoying ice skating.
Looking back, our Christmas dinner was so well attended with 47 people, a mixture of members, volunteers, staff and trustees. The college provided an excellent lunch and it was hailed a great, successful, joyful afternoon. We held our Christmas fair on a very cold and blustery Saturday at Millbrook House, and everyone who attended enjoyed the company and browsing our many stalls of Christmas craft, gifts, cakes and bric-a-brac. Refreshments were served throughout by our wonderful volunteers and people thoroughly enjoyed it. Photos include members, staff and volunteers at the Christmas meal at the college, and also a photograph of people at our Millbrook House Christmas fair.
Looking back, as I write this article, we still have December to enjoy, although we are closing for a break on the 17th. Most of us will have enjoyed a Christmas meal with our various groups and activities. Looking back, all I can say is what an amazing achievement in the last 6 months. Membership is rising, activities are increasing, but none of this would be possible without our amazing volunteers who help every week, giving up their time and providing the necessary support to enable these groups to continue. Looking forward, with 2021 nearly over and 2022 just around the corner, we are all of course hoping this would bring a world where COVID-19 does not feature so heavily in our daily lives. Sight for Light will continue with our current role, helping people as individuals from diagnosis, helping them to regain confidence through to living with as much independence as they wish to. We have plans to expand our Alexa skill to include daily updates, information from other organisations and contact deals for other organisations which can offer help and support. We will also be rolling out our Hello Everyone QR codes and to lobby at every level for the needs of VI people. We wish to begin our One Wish campaign too. Postponed due to COVID restrictions, it is aimed at providing our members the chance to fulfil a wish they have, which they cannot do unaided due to their sight loss. We're so excited about this, giving members what they want as well as what they need.
Welcome to Abbey. This beautiful island has been my home for 17 years. I have two young children who keep me on my toes and ensure I make the most of everything the island has to offer. I love sea swims, walks through Bryson Forest, cook-ups on the beach, generally being outdoors as much as possible. Image, Abbey. By the time this goes out, I will have been part of the Sight for White team for 5 weeks. Time has flown. It seems there is always a new event or project just around the corner. You will find me in and around Millbrook House, Monday to Friday, supporting Lisa with quality and management. This will involve looking at the performance of the charity and working with the team on day-to-day tasks. You will no doubt meet me at some point or chat on the phone. Please do say hello and let me know your thoughts on how we are doing and what you would like to see from our service in future. This could be new events, groups, or specific areas of support and guidance you or your family would find beneficial. I will aim to get as much feedback as possible, so please get in touch if you have any thoughts or ideas you would be happy to share. It has been a great pleasure meeting some of our members already, including during our ice skating event and Christmas fair. Both were a lot of fun and the support all around was incredibly heartening. I would like to say a big thank you to all staff, volunteers, members and trustees. You have all been very welcoming. Abby Froud.
Tips directly from members. I use a double-ended clamp to hold my handheld magnifier in place. It is fixed to the table so that it can be used like a stand magnifier. It has been a great help to me to still enjoy my puzzles. A good tip which has helped me is that I have coloured electrical sockets around my flat. Having them in bright colours helps me to work out where they are. Linda from Newport. I struggle to see recipes in my cookbook, so I have found that enlarging the pages by using my photocopier helps making the recipes bigger and easier for me to read. Tilly from Sandown. If you have any tips for other members, please do not hesitate to let us know and we can include them.
Spotlight on PJ. I was born in Guernsey in 1953. I burst into the world like a pit pony, bursting forth from the coalface to the daylight. Born sight impaired with retinal dystrophy due to ocular albinism, there were a few challenges ahead. I was educated at the Ladies' College, spending time in Jersey, and spent much time in and around the family business, which was quite diverse and by that time mostly motor trade, supplying everything from local buses to cars for royal visits. Regular trips to the Longbridge factory and Donald Healey workshops on business was great. My father was a great motorsport and rally enthusiast, which brought many other opportunities. In my 20s, I spent a couple of years working in Australia as a 10-pound pom, and on returning to Guernsey to the family business, I became mum to two beautiful baby girls. Sharon still lives and works in Guernsey with two of my grandchildren, and Amber is living and working in Gibraltar at present with her little family. The business was wound up in my early 30s, and I went to work in the banking and finance sector for a multinational company. My vision worsened over time, necessitating a few challenges of direction over the years, entailing some entertaining evening work as well. I found the key was to make eccentrics of my inadequacy. I became a member of Guernsey Blind Association in my 30s and was a member of the Foresight Group, which was for sight impaired people of working age. My last years were spent working for the States of Guernsey. On retirement, I hot-footed it to my wonderful Isle of Wight, where I have been a regular visitor for many years. Now in my ninth year on the island, I have become a member of the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind, now renamed Sight for Wight, for several years. I partake in as many varied activities as I can, particularly enjoying Strider's Walking Group and anything going on to do with the sea. All social events, meals out, etc., such as the Murder Mystery Evening, which was held a while ago. I very much value the technical assistance and general progressive attitude within the society, which is totally inclusive. Staff, volunteers and members, friendships made. All this enables me to lead a full life, retaining voice and independence. Thank you, folks. PJ Ash.
Hello, my name is Sue. I joined the Board of Trustees in 2016, and now I'm privileged to serve as chair. The board meets bi-monthly, but we also have extra meetings when needed. I also serve on the HR committee and on the board for Millbrook Enterprises, which looks after our trading arm of Dress for Less. Before retirement, my most recent employment was as a manager of a sheltered housing scheme at Yarmouth. I looked after any welfare issues, the properties and the grounds. But the majority of my working life was spent teaching, mostly on the island where my two daughters grew up and went to school. My interests now are gardening, reading and walking my Jack Russell, who is experiencing her own VI issues as she has cataracts. And I'm learning how to adapt her care so that she can have as normal life as possible. And I've enclosed a photo of myself with Charlie, my golden retriever, and Daphne, my Jack Russell, where we were sat in the garden. We are so lucky on the island to have such wonderful scenery, and I have many favourite walks. As a young family, we used to keep horses, but I last went riding 2 years ago and really miss it. We used to enjoy camping holidays in France as a family, and I have had great times exploring this country with my sister. I'm also a volunteer for Isle of Wight Cruise, the bereavement charity, and have been involved with them for over 20 years. I was also a school governor for several years. Well, why do I volunteer for Sight for Wight? Well, especially over the last 2 years, I have appreciated being part of a team. With all the COVID restrictions, it has been great to be involved, still learning, still feeling hopeful the society can make a difference for those living with any level of sight impairment. As with all volunteering, it's unexpected, but you do receive so much in return. I enjoy all the social occasions when there is an opportunity to catch up with members and other volunteers. And I'm always so pleased and thankful for the dedication and support I and the other board members receive from the staff, members and our volunteers. Hello, I'd like to give you the details of our Christmas break. We will be closing for Christmas on the 17th of December at 3 p.m. and reopen on the 4th of January at 9 a.m. All volunteers and staff will be taking a well-earned break and recharging themselves to welcome in 2022. We wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And here are some 2022 dates for your diary. January the 4th, the office at Millbrook reopens at 9 a.m. January the 10th, Medina Swimming at 1:30 p.m. January the 12th, Wednesday Coffee and Chat at 10 a.m. Also on January the 12th, a book group at 2 p.m. at Millbrook House. January the 13th is Mix and Mingle. January the 19th is the West White Swimming at 12 p.m. January the 28th is a Striders group. And February the 1st is the God's Hill Coffee Morning at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Smithy. We have had suggestions for new activities which we are looking at for the new year, including yoga, fishing, tenpin bowling and the cinema. Any suggestions, please let us know.
This is Chris.
And Brian.
Reading the volunteers page for the Christmas newsletter.
I'm Brian. I was born in Jersey in the Channel Islands, a crown dependency of the UK, only 9 miles by 5 miles, but there's plenty to see and do there. After finishing school, I spent a year working in the building industry before leaving for higher education at Southampton College of Technology from 1968 to 1971 to obtain an HND in building, which opened various options for employment. In those days, employment opportunities were easy to come by. I opted for quantity surveying at Hertfordshire County Council before moving to the Isle of Wight Council and then joining Rainey Petrie Design. I much prefer to be close to the sea and have an affinity for islands.
I'm Chris. I was born in Nottingham. You can't get further away from the sea than that. How did I come to be on the Isle of Wight? After my A-levels, I was accepted at Teacher Training College, La Sainte Union College in Southampton, where I spent 3 years combining study with fun. In my final year, I was sent to Holy Cross School in East Cowes. I enjoyed my 6 weeks on the Isle of Wight, so applied for a job. Just my luck. A brand new Catholic middle school was being built on Wellington Road, Newport. So, in 1972, I came to the island and spent many happy years teaching there. I joined Newport Badminton Club in order to have a bit of exercise and make new friends. In 1974, someone called Brian joined for similar reasons, I think. And the rest is history. Our first date was a disco at the Ride Queen. We were married in 1976 at St. Thomas of Canterbury Roman Catholic Church in Pyle Street, Newport. We still attend regularly and are involved in the parish.
We have 4 children, all 4 now married with grandchildren for us to enjoy. Philip lives in Wokingham, Martin in Sydney, Australia, Alison in Bristol, and Nicola here on the island. We collect our local grandchildren from school, watch them play football, and generally support them as much as we can. All our children include and involve us in activities when and wherever they can. We are very lucky.
Brian and I are still playing badminton for fun and competitively. We recently managed to beat a team from Cornwall in the over 70s South West Region League. Brian plays golf, I run regularly, I enjoy knitting, sewing, cooking and being out in the fresh air. How did we get involved in Sight for White? I think I started reading the county press for the Talking News in 2013. I go into St Thomas of Canterbury School to hear the children read, and at that time Rachel Gardner was a teacher there. Some of you will remember her bringing children in to sing and entertain the Knit and Natter group. Susan, her mother, worked for the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind and had asked Rachel if she could find some volunteers to read the county press. She asked me, so I asked my friends Pauline and Madeline. They came on board and later Brian jumped on as well. Pauline, Madeline and I are known as the three little maids in the Mix and Mingle group. We try to entertain the members. We let them know if we've done anything exciting and if they'd like us to explore somewhere. So we go on a mission. In November, we went to Brading to experience the new trains. We had a fun ride to Shanklin and back. Meeting members of Sight for White is a humbling experience. It never ceases to amaze us how capable and knowledgeable they are. We have certainly gained a lot from being part of the society. Thank you for giving us the chance. We wish you all a very happy Christmas and good health and happiness in 2022.
Story Writing Competition Virtual Award Ceremony 2021. This year, we hosted our sixth annual Short Story Writing Competition Award Ceremony on Monday the 6th of December, and for the second year running, it was a virtual event. We were delighted to see that approximately 200 people to date tuned in to find out if they were one of the lucky winners and enjoy entertainment from some incredibly talented people. This year we had Double Take, Huxley Magician, Ben Stubbs, who performed for us last year, and Maurice Kachuk, who is also our Master of Ceremonies. The under-12s winner was Claudia Summers with her story, A Vision of a New World, recorded by Richard Cadell. The 12 to 17 winner was Evelyn Shand with her story, Underestimated, recorded by Amy Robbins. The 18 plus winner was River Watson with his story, Cliché, recorded by Robert Dawes. The highly commended winner was Isabella Stanbridge with her story, Mystery Man, recorded by Melvin Hayes. Claudia's story will be published in the County Press and all category winners' stories will be available to listen to on our website, sightforwhite.org.uk. This page shows a photograph of Melvin Hayes with Chris Kane. I would also like to extend a huge thank you to our entertainers Double Take, Huxley Magician, Ben Stubbs and Maurice Kachuk for taking the time and trouble to record songs when they're already very busy people this time of year. It is so generous of our celebrity readers, entertainers, staff and volunteers who all gave up their time to support Sight for White with this year's Short Story Writing Competition Award Ceremony. This page features the winners, photographs of the winners and with our entertainers.
Education update. It has been a very exciting year for the education programme. The programme has been delivered to 7 schools and 22 classes so far. A big thank you to the schools who have taken part so far. The schools have been very welcoming and the children have been great in participating. And another big thank you to the volunteers who have given their time to help me in the schools. I really appreciate your support and value your input into the programme. And finally, we are always looking for new volunteers to join us on this project. We aim to educate every Isle of Wight school child on the importance of regular eye checks and how little changes can make such a big difference to people living with sight loss. I look forward to more schools being involved next year. Merry Christmas, Jasmine.
The Sight for Wight Talking newspaper will continue after the break.
Lobby update. We continue to lobby for the needs of VI people, and our CEO Lisa sits on 8 Isle of Wight boards to ensure we remain at the forefront of people's minds as environments and policies develop and are planned. Lisa approached Hover Travel regarding their new app. They had introduced a traffic light system with green to indicate the service is on time, amber to indicate the service is running but there may be delays or bad weather is coming in, and red for the service is not running. Distinguishing red and green is the most common form of colour blindness. So we asked them to add a letter. They did, and here is the result. Thank you. Picture the Hover Travel app with a circle that is a colour red with an R in it.
Member Support Officer. Firstly, I would just like to say how very welcome I have been made to feel by staff, volunteers, members and guide dogs alike since beginning my role as Member Support Officer in October. My role is to support our members after what has been a difficult 18 months or so, where some members have isolated throughout, to get back to some form of normality and instill confidence. It has been a very busy few weeks since I started, and these are just a few of the things I have been able to assist our members with. Blue badge, disabled rail and bus pass applications, delivering and setting up of vision aids, providing transport to members including swimming, mix and mingle events and the popular Low Vision Aid Open Day, welfare visits and benefit assistance, assisting with talking clocks, watches and even sorting out someone's heating, and walking with the inspirational striders. And last but not least, supporting members on the ice rink. Thankfully, as oversubscribed, I did not have to skate. I look forward to meeting more members in the future, and please, if you need any support, give me a call at the office. Karen.
Our befriending. Photo of Elaine by a Christmas tree. Thank you to our wonderful befriending volunteers who have given up their time this year. I'm sure our members will agree that they are making such a positive impact with their phone calls. At this time of year, you might want to do something for somebody else. Or take note if you experience an act of kindness. Not sure where to start? I've put together some suggestions to help you out. At home and in your community, call a friend who you haven't spoken to for a while. Or post a card or a letter to someone you are out of touch with. Send flowers to a friend out of the blue. Find out if a neighbour needs any help with shopping. Ring someone who is on their own or video call them. Send someone a handwritten thank you note. Tell your family how much you love and appreciate them. Help with household chores. Offer to help an elderly or vulnerable neighbour. Be kind to yourself. Prioritise some me time so you can relax and reflect on how you're feeling and how your day or week has been so far. Turn off from your social media channels for a day or even a week. Treat yourself to something small, such as buying or planting some flowers. Do something you enjoy, like listening to a favourite song or dancing in your kitchen. Spend some time in nature, which is good for our mental health. Check on someone you know who is going through a tough time. I'm wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. And remember, happiness doesn't come from what we get, but from what we give. Merry Christmas, Elaine.
Dress for Less, read by Debbie. Let's talk body shape. I hope that you've enjoyed finding out your body shape. As promised, I will now share some ideas on how to dress the varying shapes. We are going to get started with the most common shape, the triangle or the pear. As a quick recap, you have a pear-shaped body when your hips are wider than your shoulders, weight tends to accumulate on your thighs and often on your buttocks too. You may have an elongated waist and your legs tend to be shorter. You have a good defined waist. The aim of dressing for your body type is to achieve a flattering look that accentuates your strengths. As a pear shape, you may want to downplay your hips. In order to achieve that, you will accentuate the shoulders, draw attention to your upper body and waist, and elongate the legs. Which garments are good for the pear-shaped body? Please note that these are general guidelines as everybody is different. Pear-shaped people usually like to downplay their hips. Others want to celebrate them. For those wishing to play them down, here is how. When choosing your jeans, opt for a dark wash as these are most flattering. Choose boot cut rather than tapered style trousers and jeans. A photograph showing a pair of boot cut jeans. When choosing your top, wear something catchy, a catchy colour or some nice detail on your top. Breast pockets, big collars or a pattern are also good. Horizontal stripes help to widen your upper body to bring it more into balance with your hips. It's best that your tops and jackets end either above or below the widest point of your hips and bottom and not at that point. There's a picture of a stripy t-shirt. Think about your neckline. Several types of neckline can work for you, but to create width across your shoulders to balance out your hips, look out for boat necks and bardo styles. These styles have wider openings and are often off the shoulder. There is a photograph showing a off-the-shoulder dress. V-line tops can also work as they draw further attention to your upper half, and it's actually good for pairs to wear shoulder pads when they are back in fashion. Puffy shoulders will work too and are on trend right now. Accessories are your friend. To draw the eye up away from your hips and thighs, choose colourful scarves and statement necklaces. There is a photo with a colourful necklace. You will look fabulous in dresses. Pear shapes often look beautiful in a fit and flare style dress which nips you in at your waist and then skimps over your hips. Since your hips are a lot wider than your shoulders, you want to emphasise the shoulders and widen them. There is a photograph of a fit and flare dress. For those with a long torso, to give the impression of longer legs and a shorter torso, you can wear a few layered tops with one very short layer, like a short jacket. This will break up your elongated torso and give the illusion of longer legs. There is a photograph showing a wide-shouldered top with a skirt with a belt. I hope that I've helped you with this article to try something new. At Dress for Less, we are here to help and always have a wide variety of styles to sort all body shapes. County Press Retailer of the Year. We could not be more proud to announce that Dress for Less has been voted by the Isle of Wight residents as Retailer of the Year 2021. A huge thank you to each and every person who voted for us. This means so much to our faithful and hardworking volunteers. We hope to see you soon. Happy shopping. Debbie.
Charles Bonnet Syndrome. Do you experience vivid, silent, visual hallucinations? If you are, then you may have developed Charles Bonnet Syndrome. Charles Bonnet Syndrome, CBS, is an extremely common but little known condition which develops in someone of any age after 60% of sight has been lost. There are an estimated 1 million people, from children to the elderly, in the UK living with Charles Bonnet Syndrome. CBS is not a mental health condition, but happens when diminishing sight slows or stops the messages that usually run from the retina in the eye to the visual cortex in the brain. With nothing to interpret, the brain fires up and creates its own images. These range from simple patterns to complex scenes of people. Esme's Umbrella campaigns for awareness, sources funding for research, and creates ways to support people who develop CBS. Working with the World Health Organization, Esme's umbrella has ensured that CBS now has a coding in WHO's taxonomy of diseases and conditions, ICD-11. And Charles Bonnet Support Group is no longer classed as a side effect of sight loss, but is considered a condition in its own right. For support, there is a network of telephone online hybrid chat and support groups called Esme's Friends. Or you can, of course, contact us and we can put you in touch with others living with this condition. Talking to others allows you to exchange experiences, share coping strategies, and discover the latest research. And most importantly, stop feeling alone like no one else can understand. Find further details at charlesbonnetsyndrome.uk.
PDQ machines. In November, one of our members called us having confirmed they had encountered a new style of PDQ machine with no tactile buttons, all just screen, and their contactless had failed, so they were asked to enter their PIN. Within a couple of days, a second person called, and of course, they couldn't enter their PIN unaided either. The problem was obvious to us. With no tactile marking as to where the numbers were located on the screen, how could you enter your number? Of course, neither person was going to tell anyone else their PIN number. I contacted the PDQ manufacturers. I was greeted with a full, well-prepared answer. The problem has indeed been thought of, so every machine was supplied with a tactile rubber overlay, which should be permanently attached to every machine. This provides enough tactile markings for someone to make a very good estimation of the key's location. Further, each device has a symbol on it, which, when pressed, puts it into VI mode. This has two effects. Firstly, it reads out the amount spent. Something so simple but so useful. I, for one, have never read a PDQ machine in my life. I just have to rely on trust. Secondly, tones are activated to allow guidance around the screen. At the time of writing this, I have yet to investigate either feature personally, but what I am certain of is that people with these machines have received absolutely no training on these features and are blissfully unaware of them. The other thing I discovered is currently, despite publicity to the contrary, there is actually only one type of approved machine in circulation. Therefore, the problem can be solved by using the overlay in every case. However, a second machine is due on the market after Christmas, and I have already contacted the manufacturer and received the following reply. Engenico is very much aware of this and has actively collaborated with the RNIB on the design of a new interface for the DX8000 payment terminal. The work on this included an expert assessment and observed user testing with blind and partially sighted users to identify usability and accessibility issues. The following have therefore been incorporated. The use of a large bold characters in font recommended for character recognition, which provides good contrast and clarity, supporting people with impaired vision to be able to use their PIN more easily. An internationally recognised icon for visually impaired people launches the accessibility mode, prompting the terminal to provide audible introduction, guiding the user around the keyboard. The device reads out the amount to be paid, along with basic instructions supported by a series of audio instructions to orient the cardholder in relation to the location of the keypad, with a series of beeps to assist with the navigation. A double tap anywhere on the screen is used to select the desired key, and the whole process has an extended timeout feature, allowing the user to be careful and complete their transaction in the time that they need. The DX8000 is currently being introduced to the UK market in a pilot phase under a waiver by the RNIB. We are continuing to work with them on a small number of adjustments, with full certification expected in early 2022. I therefore believe that to make this work, training will be the key, and we will certainly be working with island firms to roll out this training as fully and extensively as we can. Lisa.
Be My Eyes. Be My Eyes is a free app available on any smartphone or tablet with an internet connection. It provides instant assistance by connecting visually impaired people with sighted volunteers. Image description: the Be My Eyes logo. What is the purpose of this app? Using your phone camera, it provides a live video chat with a volunteer to, for example, read out instructions, expiry dates, distinguish colours, or help to navigate to new surroundings. You remain in complete control of the call. The volunteer does not know who you are, where you are and cannot ever contact you back. You state what you would like assistance with. The volunteer will then be able to give guidance on which direction to point the camera or when to turn on the torch. The camera allows the volunteer to describe what they see. Image descriptions. The App Store iPhone logo. The Google Play logo. Image description. Three mobile phones side by side. On the screens, they are showing a shirt with a speech bubble saying, "What colour is this shirt?" The next screen shows a milk bottle saying, "Has this milk expired?" The third screen showing a TV remote control saying, "Which button is HDMI?" How do I download the app? The Be My Eyes app can be downloaded to Android and iPhone devices by going to the App Store and selecting Install. Once installed, select "I need visual assistance." Then click "I am new" and sign up with Facebook, Google, or using an email address. You can then call the first available volunteer and it will do exactly that. Please call us here if you need any further help. 10 common ways people use Be My Eyes. Finding lost or dropped items. For example, where is the earring back I dropped on the bathroom floor? Describing pictures, paintings, or other artwork. For example, what does this sculpture depict? What are the colours or moods of this painting? Matching or explaining colours. For example, which pair of shoes are the black ones? Reading labels on household products. For example, is this shampoo or conditioner? Reading on computer screens if websites are inaccessible or screen readers are not available. For example, my laptop restarted unexpectedly. Can you walk me through the login screen? Shopping in supermarkets. Example, which kind of crackers am I buying? Identifying expiry dates on food packaging. Familiarising yourself with new places. Example, is this the street that I'm looking for? Where is the plug socket in this hotel room? Distinguishing between food items. Example, is this paprika or cayenne? Finding out when public transportation, buses, trains, etc. are departing or arriving. Example, how many minutes does the screen say I have until the next bus arrives? Image description. The Be My Eyes homepage. When opening the app, it shows "Call first available volunteer." From our members' own experience, here are some quotes. Every single time I have got an answer within a few seconds. Goodbye wasted food. Hello reading dates. Thank you. I do not know who I am speaking to and I will never meet them, so I feel at ease to ask them anything. The other person just answers my question. Nothing more, nothing less. Safety tips. Protect your personal information. Never display or share any identification documents like passport or driver's license. Protect your financial information. Never share credit card, bank account, insurance or other financial information or passwords. Report all inappropriate or unsafe behaviour. Do not share information about your medication or health conditions. Do not use Be My Eyes for anything that could put you in danger or at risk of harm. Abby Froud.
Welcome to Terry's 20 Teasers for the festive season. And this time, all the questions are focused on this time of year. Number one, I'm standing outside a stable 2,000 years ago. Well, I'm very old. Where am I? Number two, I'm standing in a country which supplies a Christmas tree for Trafalgar Square in London each year. Where am I? Number three, I'm standing on top of a mountain in Scotland on Christmas Day. Are my feet likely to be in snow? Number four, can you name any, or all if you can, of the three kings? Number five, which saint is Father Christmas named after? Number six, who wrote the song White Christmas? Now, we can't really do this without a little humbug corner, so here are three slightly humbuggy questions. Number seven, what would Scrooge have particularly liked about St. Mary's Hospital here in Newport? Number eight, what was Scrooge's first name? And number nine, in A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, what was Tiny Tim's surname? Okay, enough of the humbug. Let's get back to happier questions. Number 10. Who's the missing reindeer from this list? Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. Shall I say them again? There's one missing. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. Who is the missing one? And on a similar theme for question 11, who's the missing one in this list from Snow White? Dopey, Bashful, Grumpy, Sleepy, Sneezy, and Doc. And I'll read them again as well. Dopey, Bashful, Grumpy, Sleepy, Sneezy, and Doc. So who's the missing one? Question 12. Why are Christmas cactuses, or cacti if you prefer, so called? Why are they called Christmas cactuses or cacti? Number 13. Who do they say first portrayed Father Christmas wearing a red cloak? And number 14, what colour cloak did he usually appear wearing before that? Number 15, we'll have you all singing with this one. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, how many lords were a-leaping? And for question 16, how many partridges did the lady receive altogether? May have to think a bit about that one. Number 17, which is the kissing berry? It's not an official name, it's one I thought of. The kissing berry. Which one would you think that is? Number 18. Why is it customary to have turkey for Christmas dinner? Tricky one. Number 19. In what language was Silent Night, Holy Night originally written? And number 20. Now, there's no right answers for this, and certainly no wrong ones. It's just for fun. What would you wish for most this Christmas? So there we are. There's your 20 festive season teasers. And now the answers to Terry's 20 teasers for the festive season. Number one, that stable I was standing outside 2,000 years ago was in Bethlehem. Number two, the country who provide trees for Trafalgar Square each year is Norway. Number three, if I was standing on top of a mountain in Scotland on Christmas Day, yes, my feet would very likely be in snow. Number four, the three kings, or wise men as they're often referred to, are Caspar, Melchior and Balthazar. Well done if you got any of those, and especially well done if you got all three. Give yourself a point for each one you got. Number five, Father Christmas was named after St. Nicholas. Number six, who wrote White Christmas, the song? Irving Berlin, who, by the way, lived to the age of 101. Now, humbug corner. Question seven, why would Scrooge have particularly liked St. Mary's Hospital here in Newport? It was where the first workhouse in Britain was established. Do you remember, are there no prisons, are there no workhouses? As old Happy himself asked in A Christmas Carol, saying that poor people should go there. Number eight, what was his first name? Ebenezer. And number nine, Tiny Tim's surname was Cratchit. Right, no more humbug. Number 10, the missing reindeer from that list was Comet. Number 11, the missing person from the Snow White list was Happy. Number 12, why are Christmas cactuses, or cacti so-called? Because in the Northern Hemisphere, they flower indoors in the winter. In the Northern Hemisphere, they flower indoors in the winter. Number 13, the people usually credited with fitting Father Christmas out with a red cloak is the drinks firm Coca-Cola. And before that, apparently his cloak was generally green, which is the answer to number 14. Now, how many lords were a-leaping, number 15? 10 lords a-leaping. And number 16, how many partridges would the lady receive altogether? 12. One on the first day, one on the second, one on the third, one on the fourth, and so on all the way through the 12 days of Christmas. So she'd have 12 partridges, and goodness knows how many other things. I think there were about 364 things altogether she had. I'm not quite certain. 17. Which is a kissing berry? Mistletoe. Number 18 was a tricky one. Why do many people eat turkey at Christmas? Well, historically, farmers needed their cattle for breeding and supplying milk, and hens for producing eggs, which used to be much more expensive than they are nowadays. So, sorry turkeys, that's the way it goes. Number 19, Silent Night, Holy Night, was originally written in German. And number 20, you can give yourself a point, no, make it 2 points, whatever you wished for. And if you'd like to let us know your Christmas wish, do phone us on 522 205 or email us on inquiries@iwsb.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. Happy Christmas, everybody, and fingers crossed for a really good year ahead. Bye for now.
Contact us. Sight for White, 01983 52205. Email inquiries@iwsb.org.uk. Address Millbrook House, 137 Carisbrook Road, Newport, Isle of Wight, PO 30 1DD. Website siteforwhite.org.uk. Facebook page Sight for White. Dress for Less, 01983 523 197. Email retail@iwsb.org.uk. Address 114 St James Street, Newport, Isle of Wight, PO 30 5HB. Facebook Dress for Less. Look for the yellow circle with address and I. Instagram www.instagram.com/dressforlessIOW.